Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to Coco Caliente, a mother and daughter production where we talk about everything and nothing all at the same time. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Jenny.
I am breathing heavy because I just got done. I've just been doing an outdoor brisk walk every morning, and I swear it really helps and changes my mood for the rest of the day.
And yep, and so she's a little bit out of breath, but who's ready to talk about Big Brother?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do this. And first thing I was going to ask you about, I'm going to jump around on the questions here that I wrote
down. Let's just preface this with, I have no idea what any of the questions are. And
if she doesn't want to answer that question today, we might put it on the, like, if she needs to think about it, because I didn't give her any time to think, or I just wrote them all out. And if she needs time, then I'm going to circle my question and or put a check mark by it, and we'll try to get to that one at a later date. There's quite a few different questions on here.
Okay.
But the one that I'm going to ask you right now that I can't even see, do you get recognized a lot?
Yeah, I do, actually. And I'm surprised because it's been so, okay, maybe it hasn't been that long. How long since I've been on All Stars? 3-4 years? But yeah, I get recognized a lot, which makes me feel good, because even though I'm a lot chubbier than I was before, I still must look the same, but it's my voice that gives it away. And what's crazy is that 9 out of 10 people will say, "Oh my gosh, you're a lot smaller than you are on TV." And I'm like 30 pounds heavier. So TV must add like 50 pounds.
Yeah, Nicole is a pretty pint sized, actually. But yeah, and like, it's so funny, and there isn't any place we go, it's so natural to now it's not annoying, it's not anything. It's like always, and they're always, everybody's so respectful. They're like, "Do you care if we get a picture?" And you know, Nicole already knows that coming. She's like, "Yep, she's ready," because it happens. I don't know any place we go except for maybe to Walmart, where it doesn't happen every single time. Like, any place we go as a family to do anything, it happens. And the funniest part is that, like, it, once it, one person does it and other people were thinking about it or watching her, then it's a lineup. Like when we went to the concert last weekend, it was just one person. Then it was like right after another. And then, you know, but it was quick. They're just like, say what they want to say, and can I get a picture, and oh my gosh, you
in
know.
Port Austin, I didn't tell you, we went to Emily B's, is that what that cute little
Emma B's,
and it happened a couple times just in that little couple minutes I was there, because there are people actually from out of state, so I do see a lot of people from out of state over in Port Austin or visiting their family, so I feel like I get quite a few people up there, right?
Yeah, I feel like you get a lot at the market. Yes, a lot at the market. So it's really nice. And the funny part about the voice is this, I just have to tell this real quick. Last week, me and Jesse went out to lunch in Marlette, and we went shopping for his, I wanted to get him something for his birthday, so we went to Ben's Outdoor or whatever. And all of a sudden, I hear somebody comes up to me and says, oh my gosh. I listen to your podcast. You're Jenny, aren't you? And I was like, shout out to Allison. And I was, she's like, I heard your voice. And then I heard and called my mom and said, come in here. I know it's her. And that's I just cute. Thought it was so cute and funny, because that was the first time I had ever gotten recognized by my voice. So it was kind of funny. Okay.
It made you feel really good.
Yeah.
So if you recognize my mom or hear her voice, definitely come say hi.
No, I looked like crap. I was like actually kind of embarrassed, but.
Well, that's how, I mean, we're just normal people, Mom.
But she didn't ask for a picture. Thank goodness. Okay. Question number one, how is finding of the house key film? Do you know you're on the show when you find it, or is it pretend and it's a surprise?
Okay. So this is a great question. So what they do is they tell you, you made it down to the top 25 and they are going to fly out and come check out kind of like the rest of
your family,
or I mean, I guess just where you live. Okay. So they do not mention the key at all. They're like, hey, you're like down to the final like 25. So then they send like a crew out there. And I mean, I guess you probably remember this as good as I do. They do hide the key. And then when you do find it, like that is a reaction. You have to do the segment a few times because, I don't know, they always like more shots than one. So the first time it's very like, oh my gosh. But still, like, they have it in your mindset that you're still just, like, top 25. So nothing's guaranteed.
And that's probably why somebody wrote that some of them look like they're so surprised. Mm-hmm. And some people look like it was a little bit staged. It's probably because they didn't get what they needed, mm-hmm. you know, the first time. So they had to redo it. Like, maybe they were, like, so stunned that
Was a plane overhead. Like, the noise and audio is a big thing. So say there's a plane overhead or there's something in the background that they don't want to show on TV, whether that be a logo or something.
Or you found the key at the wrong time when they weren't waiting. Now, yours, I think, was filmed as total surprise because they had you put in the cornhole. You had to pull it out of the cornhole, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was in the board. And then when you went to get the bags, you pulled it up.
Oh, my gosh. It's just so awkward thinking about it because I was not at all prepared to leave that day or anything, was I? I like cried and stuff.
Yeah, you were no, because we didn't know that they're just gonna like. We were pretty naive and didn't watch any feeds or anything like that, so we didn't know like a lot of stuff. And they like, yeah, they just take you up in your bedroom and throw clothes in a bag, and it's like, bye. Yeah, we were all just like, no, no. And then they like immediately took your phone. So I couldn't even talk to you. Yeah, like right there at the house before they had her get in the car. So it's like I couldn't even like text her anything I wanted to, like good luck stuff all the way there or whatever. It was just like.
And then I traveled with like a handler all the way back to LA, and she was super sweet. I remember when I got to the airport, my luggage was like a couple pounds over, and this is crazy to me. I still think about it. She's like, do you want to pay? They're like, do you want to pay the $100 that it's over? Do you want to shove? She's like, you can shove stuff in my bag. And so I shoved some extra clothes in her bag. But like now I'm thinking, why didn't I just like, it was like the end of the world where I was going to have to leave clothes instead of paying like the $100 overage fee. So it's just crazy how much like different, I guess, my mindset was, because I thought, oh my gosh, I can't like have my suitcase overweight, which you totally can't. I just thought that that would make me, I don't know. It's just funny. But yeah, she let me shove all of like the extra pounds in her carry-on bag. And I think I was pretty quiet the whole ride down, like just like crying and thinking, because I mean, I was about to leave.
Because it happened really fast.
And yeah, I didn't really know what I was in for. You know, next thing I knew, my parents were going to see me on TV.
Yeah, it was like, it was like really weird. Okay. And I know we've answered this question before. Maybe we just talk about it so much to other people, like on a one-on-one. But how many times did you apply for Big Brother before you got accepted?
One. It was the only time I applied. And
it was only it was less than a week. I think it was 1 to 2 days before
the deadline.
So it was like very quick. And I can tell the story too.
Go ahead, tell it.
Because she was down at school and she was just like in a funk a little bit. It was almost time to graduate. And I said, come on home tonight. Like it was even during the week. And I said, come on home tonight, because I just saw, like what I had seen is one of her girlfriends had went to Chicago and had a picture with Andy Heron on her Facebook. And then I look, and Nicole had just turned 21. So like the year before. So it was like, she was 21. So she could not apply to that time. And it said something about meeting him at a casting thing. And I said, so I looked up all the stuff that day. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's got like 2 days. She could apply. And I was like, no, there's no way, you know, we'll do it next year. She'll be out of school. Well, that day she was talking to me and she's like, oh, mom. And I said, come on home today. I said, we're going to apply for Big Brother. I said, I'll help you. I'll write out everything to give you. So she goes, we can't do this in one day. I'm like, yeah, we can. So while she's driving the hour and a half home, I ran and got some poster board and I'm just writing out some points about her or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, just like to help her out or whatever. And so she came home and I had it all ready and like I was gonna film it and stuff. And she's like, I cannot do this in front of you. You have to go outside. And so the Swans man was there. I remember mm-hmm. that. And I got trapped outside with him forever. But it took her like, what did it take you? Like an hour and a half?
Probably.
Because she was so like.
It had to be one take. I just did one take. This is pre-filters. This is pre-anything. Like.
Just talking into, just literally taping herself. I don't even know what you used to hold your phone because we didn't even have like a phone holder.
No, so I used my hand. And also we did it, this is when you did it like the horizontal filming, I believe, not the vertical filming. So it's just so different.
Yeah, so she kept.
No editing.
She came out once and opened the door and said, I don't know if I can do this. And I said, get back in there. She goes, well, you're not watching it when I'm done. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So anyways, it was like an hour and a half and she submitted it. And we just hung out and whatever. Did you go back that night or the next morning? You must have went back the next morning because I probably wouldn't have let you drive at night that late.
Yeah, and I didn't get a call till like the next week, which is very fast. And then I got a call.
Yeah, and then the next week she's down at school and she's, would you say you had to run in the bathroom in class, right? Because you saw a weird number.
No, I was at my apartment. I ran outside and then I like projectile vomited because I was like, could this be it? Because that was before like really bad telemarketer calls to your iPhone and it said LA or Burbank, California or something. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. She called me. She goes, you're not going to believe this. And I'm like, I was like, no way. She goes, yes, mom.
I have to Skype them.
She goes, I have to Skype. I don't know how to Skype. Like, are you going
to
come down here?
I had to borrow Mariah's good friend's Mac laptop MacBook. Because I had a Dell and my Dell was just not keeping up with the times. Mariah had a Dell. So I was like, we need something that is like sturdy. So I borrowed it and then I had to set up Skype. And my mom and Mariah went out to eat, I think, while I was doing this, right? Because I was the only one in the apartment.
Yeah, and then she came back and said that like it kept freezing the entire time, right? Because mm-hmm. you said it was such a bad Skype. You go, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
You were like, you had no hope or whatever at that point. And then they called back and said, fly out. That's when you were in class and you ran in the bathroom because you got another call. And you said, oh my gosh, they want me to like fly out tomorrow because they need to interview me because my Skype didn't really work very well.
But really it was because I made the top so many. You hear my mom and I talk about our Lumi products almost every episode, whether we're sponsored or not. Well, this episode is brought to you by Lumi because we love Lumi. We have such a great experience with it. My mom loves the whole body deodorant. I love the stick deodorant. And I love the wipes. They are very, very convenient. And there's also a body wash. So you guys, don't let summer funk ruin your summer fun this year. It's time to summer-proof your body odor, and luckily there is a solution. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Lumi Whole Body Deodorant for pits, privates, and beyond. It was created by an OBGYN who developed a uniquely formulated pH-balanced deodorant. It's aluminum-free, skin-safe, and clinically proven to control odor for up to 72 hours. So with Lumi, the average odor level is 0 out of 10, and an average odor would be without it would be 6 out of 10. So the whole body deodorant, it's the first of its kind and it's seriously safe to use anywhere, pits, thigh folds, belly buttons, feet, and beyond. And we love like that it's aluminum free and all that stuff too. And its pH balance is safe for use below the belt. They have clean tangerine, lavender, sage, or toasted coconut. So Lumi starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code COCO at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code COCO. Thanks so much, guys. Okay, yeah, that was the first time. I remember my mom dropped me off at the airport then to fly out. And this is a huge secret. No one knew. And I remember this first time I flew out by myself, I was crying again. And as if I'm never going to see my mother. This is before the key. Yeah, this is to get on to the show. And so basically what you do is you show up at this like hotel and they say like, don't talk to anyone. Don't look at anyone. Basically, you're going to be in your room. And they will call you out for interviews as needed. And it's on a day basis. You have no return ticket home. So I could be there for 24 hours or I could maybe be there for like 4 days. And every morning they either like put underneath your door like a ticket home or they give you per diem for the day. I think, I don't know how much. And so,
to eat, right?
Yeah, to eat. Because there's restaurants, you're allowed to go out to eat at a restaurant like once a day or go to the pool or go to the gym. I never went to the gym. I never went to the pool. I just went to eat. And so I'd see people that I would assume are other contestants. Like I saw Hayden a lot and assumed he was a contestant. I saw Amber, I believe, quite a bit. I saw Caleb. There was people that I saw that I just assumed like, okay, they look unique. And I think that it might be they're young, they're by themselves. Not that you had to be young, but I was 21 at the time. And so I just kind of assumed everyone was around my age. And so every morning I was so scared I was going to get a return ticket home. Because once you get a return ticket home, it means like you're not going on to the final casting like thing at the end. So,
and you saw quite a few people that you never saw on the show too.
Yeah, for sure. I just
when you came home and like
I was like, there's a blonde girl that I think that me or her is gonna get on, because I think they have like two of you, right? Two whatever. Oh, I saw Joey for sure, because the blue hair and everything. So long story short, you're just so scared every morning. You're like, did I make it? So you're getting pulled out for these interviews. And one interview, the first interview, I did 10 out of 10. I was like, oh, I'm good. The second interview, I bombed. I like blacked out. It was pretty horrible. I got so nervous. I just blacked out and I was like, oh, I think I'm going home. Luckily, they gave me another chance. And one of the casting people came up to me and they were like, hey, you're a front runner, just so you know. And I was like, what? So I kind of like got excited and that gave me like, I think the little bit of like a confidence boost that I needed. So then anyways, long story short, you're finally at the final casting call process. I don't know what to call it. You're all taken to a room. You're all sitting with one other person at a table and you're just kind of like looking around. You're not allowed to talk or speak. And they tell you, you know, you might not get an interview with the producers. This is like the big, big producers. You might not get an interview with them. And if you don't, it's just because we ran out of time. And I was the last person to get an interview. And I thought, oh my gosh, like I barely got an interview. Well, then I read Dan's book after that. And they say that they save the best for last. So then I was like, ka-ching. Anyways, I did really well on that interview. I actually fell walking into the interview, which totally just worked to my advantage because it was my personality. And then I kind of had a good feeling like after I left LA and everything, it felt really good. But I sat at a table with Caleb and didn't talk. Zach was being crazy, like doing these, getting up in his socks and doing these weird dance moves, but no one was allowed to talk to him. I'm just like, what is wrong with this dude? Yeah, there was probably 16 of us in there. And I would say like 8 to 10 made the cast. And I just assumed there was like 10 rounds of that, you know? So I was really surprised to see all those people in. Christine was in there as well, I think. Yeah. So I was surprised to see a lot of them. And when I went to the house, I was like, dang, that was really like the final. So it's a really cool experience and you can only go through it once. I never went through it again because once you're on the show, like they just call you and it's different, but that was amazing.
Then you fly by yourself and they, you know, don't take your phone until you have your phone while you're flying, like the second, the third time. And then they put you in sequester.
And they give you a different name, like they disguise you.
Yeah, they put you in sequester and all that good stuff. Yes.
And I do want to say that I think like me telling all that stuff isn't like top secret because it was written in I read a lot of it in Dan's book. Oh,
and a lot of people, all of the, all I know, of them I feel like I kept, I kept about their experiences.
I know, and I kept so loyal for, like, that was almost 10 years ago, Mom, that I went through that. And I just never spoke about it.
And who knows if it's the same now, you
know? No, and I just never spoke about it because I didn't want to, like, betray them. But then when I'm seeing, like, all these people talk about it all the time, I'm like, okay.
Well, and I think a lot now, I mean, from what I read, a lot is scouting now. So it's totally different.
And the casting producer is different, too. So, you know what I mean? It's not even the same person.
Yeah, everything's different. This is totally, they're not in any order. So so how long are you locked in the house? How many days are you locked in the house while they set up the backyard? Like how many, do you get a long time where you don't get to use the backyard?
Yeah, it could be like anywhere from maybe 36 hours to 3 days.
Okay. So what about if, I don't even know if you had any house, if you have any smokers in your house, what do they do if they're locked?
I never, ever, all three seasons, there wasn't one smoker in the house. Insane. Now that I think about it.
Really?
Yep. Not one.
Okay. Does people ask that, like, what do they do while you there? So you don't know that answer at all?
No. We had no smokers.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
And out of all the comps, like, and this might be something you have to answer later if you can't think about it, what comp did you dislike the most and which one was your favorite?
My favorite one that I get excited to see is, you know, when they you stay or fold and you got to like count in your head how many lollipops or whatever. I love that one as I feel like I'm pretty good at it. I dislike the one that I would say that I dislike the most that I thought I disliked the most probably isn't true anymore. So I'd have to really think about it. It's the one where you're spinning and you have to stand on that thing because then I won it in All Stars at the end against Cody and Enzo. But do you remember like...
like you get dizzy, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Anything that gets me dizzy or it would be... Oh, no. I'd say my least favorite is when you have to, yeah, spin around. They do the... They did it as a ballerina one time on my first season. They did it as, I think, a cowboy type themed or something where you spin around and then you have to go put something together before your timer. I'm just a very dizzy person, so... For me, I can't. There's no chance of me winning that.
What about like the slippery slopes? A plus or a negative?
I love those.
And what about like the wall comps?
Oh, those are depends. I mean, I do get excited for them. So yeah, I like those too.
And the BB Comics you seem to really like.
Oh, that's my favorite.
That's what I thought it would be your favorite.
Oh my gosh. BB Comics is my favorite. Anyone take me on anytime in BB Comics and I'm going to destroy you. No, yeah. I'm really good at it.
BB Comics. That's what I would have picked for her if they the favorite. Yeah. But like I said, she didn't even have no time to think about it. This was just okay. And when they have the messy comps,
yeah,
like they have to clean.
We get that question.
Who cleans it up?
We have to, and that's why it causes a lot of fights in the house because, like, when James broke all the eggs, someone was like, "Now who broke all these eggs? Obviously, there's not a veto inside the egg. This was just." This and so then people are fighting with him and he's like admitting it, not admitting it. And then people are annoyed. So and then someone accused someone of going of I think Natalie said somebody threw her underwear out of her drawer. It's like every single drawer was destroyed because you're looking for a hide and go veto. Like the eggs, I understand that there's not a veto in the egg, but there could be a veto in the drawer. You know what I mean?
So everybody,
I actually love that comp
so
too.
Everybody's clothes were all over.
Oh, everybody's everything, and nobody knew what drawer was whose. You know what I mean? Like, you, when someone is evicted in the house, you literally start off with one drawer. When someone's evicted in the house, there's another drawer available. I moved drawers and spots probably 8 times each season because you're just like, okay, now I can have these 2 drawers, you know, or I can, it's very different. You change rooms.
By the end, you get a whole dresser, huh?
Yeah.
And everybody's stuff is always all over, isn't it? Is it not?
Yeah, and you're only allowed to bring so much stuff in too, and that's for a reason because otherwise it'd be crazy. But yeah, that is one of my top three competitions.
And the packing for the, this will might wrap up a couple questions in one, but the packing for going, they're very strict because of the mm-hmm. logos and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can pack. And once you pack your suitcases that still don't, even if it don't have any logos, once you get there, they go through your suitcase and take yeah. half of it and put it in a suitcase and you don't get it till you leave.
Yeah. My season 16, they took a ton out. I actually didn't have enough shirts and shorts. And that was like, I think they even knew I didn't have enough shirts and shorts. They got a hold of my mom and they said she needs some like plain colored tees.
So I just went to, yeah, like the day it was like literally, cause she went so fast and it was literally, I went to Target and I just bought the same like t-shirt and mm-hmm. every
the
color
V-neck.
Plain. Yeah.
I hate those shirts. And they're like, here, this is what you're on national television. This is what you get to wear every day. I'm like, this is not me, but okay. And you know,
because
just a smile.
It was like literally like they, it was, you had, I had to get them out that day. We don't have anything by us except for Walmart. So I drove down to Target.
I'm glad you went to Target though. I do appreciate that.
I went to Target and hurried up and got them and put them right in the mail, like right at a UPS or whatever. Whatever, FedEx, I don't remember. It was a one-day thing, like, right mm-hmm. there. I had to go find one. It was just throwing a bunch of stuff into, like, literally, I think, plain shorts, too.
Oh, yeah, plain shorts.
So I just, like...
Cotton shorts.
Some pajamas. They told me I had to put some pajamas in there.
Because they took... I have a very weird, unique style. And, like, anything kind of weird they take, they don't like stripes or patterns. And you can't wear, like, white or green. And so I think my stuff kind of fell under that category. And I was to the point, I miss like how I was then as far as like so simple. I did not go buy a new wardrobe for the last two seasons I went on. I was like, oh, I'm going to go shopping and buy some cool stuff. Me and Mom, we were just like, okay, what in my closet works? You know, I just think that's so like, and so a lot of it didn't work. And so here I am wearing the same V-neck in several colors, but it's all right.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And then, so that brings to this question. Do mm-hmm. you get to pick what you wear the first day walking into the house or do they help you?
They help you. So you have to send them options.
So you could get,
even
pick it
All-Star
out kind
season,
of.
I like picked out three options and then you have to send pictures to the producers and then they say this one or this one. Yeah.
Or if they don't like any of them, they'll say try again probably.
Yeah. And you want something that like fits your personality and that's different. And they also don't want you, I think, just everyone to be wearing coral or everyone to be wearing red. You know, they want different things for sure. Yeah. They definitely have a hand in that. So if you see someone like really dressed up, they want you to be really dressed up. If you see someone casual, they want you to be casual because it kind of fits your personality.
And how many times a day do you get called to the DR?
I don't know. It could be zero and it could be four or five.
And you like to be called to the DR so you know that you're like doing well or you don't like to be called to the DR?
Yeah, when you're not. So I was the very first person in season 16 to get called to the DR. I was just like, okay, 16 was just so different. When I think about it, it just brings so much joy to me because I didn't understand things. And I was the first person because they wanted my reaction. Like, what is it like being in the house? And I was just so excited. So I was the first person called and I was just like, oh my gosh. So then after that, I was never the first person called again. And so then in my head, I'm just like, I'm old news, you know, like it's just different. So yeah, you want to be called to the DR because obviously that means you're making the show or, as you play more, you get smarter. Like, okay, they're getting called the DR a lot. They're definitely making a lot of game moves and they're definitely, yeah.
So that helped you like in the future, like,
oh, for sure. It was never the same again after the first time and it never will be.
This question, I was thinking about this and this is one I don't know if you'd be able to answer or not, mm-hmm. like without thinking about it, because there's probably quite a few people and it might be, who would you trust to play with again that you played like 100% be able to put your trust in?
Weirdly, Danny Donato, I think. I really wish I could rechange All-Stars. And I think since becoming a mom, I'm a lot different. Like, I could 100% put my trust in her. At the top of my head, is there anyone else that I could put my... Well, obviously Victor.
No, besides Victor. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be all that I can think of right now.
And so, I bet you there is some, and there's probably people that you could put your trust in that you did not play
that
with,
I don't
but
know.
Watching mm-hmm. them, but watching them play, you realize like how loyal they are. And
I thought I could put my trust, like I couldn't put my trust. I love, like I could not put my trust in. I would thought it would be like Tyler or something like that, but I couldn't after playing with him because I just felt so burned. Same with like Christmas in Memphis, could not. Cody, hell no.
I think you could. Now this is my opinion from watching your season.
Yeah,
I think you could put. I think Memphis is very trustworthy because he was actually like even at the end he said if you would have took Cody out, he would give you the next, like he was honest. He didn't say, he could have said then I'll take you all the way to the final two, but he like whatever he said mm-hmm. like the next one or two comps he definitely wouldn't put you up, so he wasn't lying. Like I think Memphis is very honest.
He is, but I would never be his number one. Does that make sense?
Well, it depends on who's on, you know.
Have to be the other person's number one to be able to trust anyone. That's what I'm thinking. Like, could I trust Memphis in a group of six? Hell yeah. I guess I just complete one-on-one trust. I didn't have that in All-Stars. I had it in 16 with Christine. I thought I had it. I put everything I had into her. And then season 18, obviously, was Corey. And I learned from 16 to pick someone that was different than Christine.
And Corey and Polly, actually, Polly was really loyal. Trustworthy mm-hmm. and loyal in 18 to you. I mean, you honestly, to win, you picked the best people that didn't waver back and forth ever. You know,
you learn from your mistakes. Did. You're not going to align yourself with someone that isn't going to get you to win the game when you've already did that last time you played. You know, if 18 was my first time, I probably would have tried to align with like Bridget, Natalie, and Michelle to find myself probably getting burned in week 4. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like I learned. Well, I carried that with me.
Obviously, definitely Michelle. You probably would have aligned with her because she's from mm-hmm. Michigan, but yeah. That would have been a like bad, bad, bad mistake for you. That would have been like way even worse than Christine.
That's what I mean. I learned. And I kind of just picked one person. And I'm really good socially and I needed someone that was good physically. So I mean, it was between Victor and Corey, honestly, but Victor was just wild. I was like, I cannot control this dude. So anyways.
And you said when you first saw Corey, you thought of him like he was a dad or something.
I 100%.
You thought he
was older.
Swear
to God, before I picked him to be on my team, we had like a couple minutes of like interaction in the kitchen. And he said, my kids. And he was referring to the baseball kids, I found out later. I thought he had children. And so I went on that show kind of still like heartbroken from like the Hayden stuff or whatever. So I was like, I'm not getting in showmancer trouble with anything. And so then when I picked him, I was like, he's a dad. He's older. He does look a little bit older.
Yeah, he does because he's so tall.
Yeah. And I was just like, okay, so I'm going to pick this dad. He looks like he's like loyal. And then I find out when he was saying my kids, he was talking about like kids he teaches. And I was like, okay, that makes, I guess, sense. But anyways, that's what literally honestly happened.
Yeah, that was so, and she told me that like story, like right, you know, after, and one of the first things when she got home.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
How bad was Slop?
So Slop is... So basically what it is, it's steel cut oats. So it's the really, really hard oats that you have to boil for like, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour to make soft. But what makes it horrible is the powder that they put in it. So it's basically like this chalky powder with all the minerals and vitamins you need to survive.
Because you're not eating anything else.
Yeah, and that's what makes it bad. So what we did on season like 16, was we sift Frankie Grande, I think it was him. He sifted out all of the nutrients and then we just ate the carbs. And then I think they took the sifter and stuff away on my next two seasons because they're probably like, that's not very healthy.
So they just did it for your health is why they want you to eat
it
like that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I would say the best way that I ate it was I cooked it and mixed ketchup and like barbecue sauce and pickles in it.
And that sounds so disgusting. Oatmeal with ketchup, barbecue sauce and pickles.
Yeah.
I know the answers to some of these. Were there books or things for your entertainment there? There's chess, right?
Chess and pool if you get to go outside. And actually on All Stars, they did have like some little like mind game things, puzzles.
Oh, they did?
Puzzles and stuff, yeah. But
And then like at the very end, you might get a deck of cards or something if you're lucky. And and I honestly think that they should Jenga. Put more games like that kind of stuff to like get your minds off things. And you can talk to people then and just play a game, you know. And like I think that they should put, but maybe they don't put them there because like say if it is, you could use them for counting the purposes or for different kind of things. Or you need a pen to keep score.
Oh,
or...
yeah, they gave us backgammon. On All Stars, and that took a lot of people like time away, which was good.
Yeah, that's I think so. Maybe it's just depending on what they do. Who's your favorite winner besides yourself? That might be a hard question if you want to wait for that one and think about it.
Like, I guess in what context? Like as a human, as a winner, as a game player, what?
Yeah, that would be a hard question actually.
Yeah, because like,
you'd have to think about it. You probably have to write down or look at the list of winners and then.
I'll tell you three that I just like really like. Like, well, I guess I've never even met Taylor, but I'd have to put her up there. But like, she was a good winner. Jordan Lloyd, I love her as a person. She's so fun. But I think her game was good, but I think Dan's game was awesome. And I also like love Ian. So I feel like there's a lot.
Yeah, so it would have to be like based on which. So you probably could say something good about every winner.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? They played. They won. I mean, no matter what anybody says.
Like, Josh Martinez, love him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but no matter what anybody says, they played. You know, they won. They convinced the jury. They definitely.
And if you put me in a room full of winners, I bet we'd all just have a good time. And nothing would be personal. It'd just be... we could all say great things about each other, you know? And watching someone on TV is a lot different, too. So if you're just, like, strictly, like, game, who's the best winner, I think Dan just kind of took everything up a notch. Like, everyone refers to season 10. It's a really good season. So, but after that, things have just evolved and changed so much that every winner is great in its own way because they had to adjust to their environment. Whether that be social game or winning, you know what I mean?
And Derek, I mean,
Derek was a really good winner too.
I mean, you picked him, you know what I'm saying?
I voted for him.
And even though he was the one that was on to you and got you out, you know, twice, yeah, it was his idea.
And I think he modeled his game.
You respected it.
And he modeled his game a lot after Dan. So I think it's kind of just, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that is a hard question because you probably, if you right now you're not even thinking, but if you went through every single winner, you know, and some have to go through so much more to win, you know,
totally.
Like than what, you know. And then do you get FOMO when new seasons start, like the fear of missing out?
I used to. Yes, after season 16, I remember I texted the casting director at the time and was like, oh my gosh, it's like our house. It feels so weird, you know? And I remember that. Then after 18, maybe a little bit. And then after 22, hell no. No FOMO, just excited for them. And I hope that they have the best experience like I had my first time. You know, it's just, you can never go back.
And, when you're have not, do you have to sleep in the have not room or can you sleep on a couch?
No, you have to sleep in the have not room. No one can ever sleep on a couch. And actually, the first two seasons I was on, you were allowed to like nap. And then All Stars, you're not allowed to even nap, which is bull crap.
Okay, and before I forget, I want to do a shout out to Natalie. You said you really like a shout out, but you actually had a lot of these questions. I mean, I got a whole page of questions just from you. So great job on the questions.
Yeah, these are really good questions.
Okay, hang on. I have to turn the page.
I have a bunch on my Instagram we got to go through that are deeper, Mom. So maybe we'll do like a part two.
Not today, though, right?
Not today.
Yes. Okay, here's a questions for a couple questions for me. They asked if producers contact us while we're in the house. Yes. And they also give you like info to I can email them. And I had one that I loved all three seasons. I still love her. She still messages Nicole to like to tell us happy birthday. She made me feel so warm and welcome. And like I literally, you know, I would break down crying like at different times, you know, just missing them or when they're stressed in the house and they're depressed, or you can just like, you know, your children. So when you're watching them mm-hmm. and you're seeing like their eyes and they're that they're not happy or, and you're worried about them even eating or like, you know, little things, I would message her just like little things like, I don't think Nicole's feeling good. Can you go check on her for me and stuff like that? And they, she was so, so, so good. And I think mm-hmm. she's still there. And I actually like loved her. And I felt like she was like the motherly figure for Nicole and watching for sure. over her when I couldn't watch over her. And they, mm-hmm. yeah, they definitely like contact you and say an episode when Nicole was going to be upset and they filmed a lot of DRs with her like upset, she would get a hold of me before that and just say, I want to let you know Nicole's really in good spirits now, but she was very upset when we filmed this part of the show, just so you're aware, and I don't want you to think that's what's going on happening now that was like then. And especially with those backyard dwellers yellers, and then they closed down the feeds the one time for that long time, like what was that? It was on All Stars, I think. And oh, that's stressful because I have no idea what's going on. Like, it's hard that to watch. I feel for all you parents. Like, it is very, very hard to watch mm-hmm. that you cannot communicate and to watch what they're going through at different parts and not being able to help at all. And like, not even be able to give them any advice or mm-hmm. like different kinds of things. So yeah, they're the producers are really, really good about
they
that.
Are, I will say, I don't know like any other producers, but I don't think there can be better hearted producers than what I went through every single time. Like, I have nothing but love and gratitude for them. They never made me feel any type of way ever in a negative light, always positive. And I don't think you can say that for a lot of shows.
And I met them like all of them, like at the end, like at the finale party and all that kind of stuff. And oh, they're just, yes, they're so, so,
very
so
personable,
kind. And
the, you know?
Yeah. And like, just made me feel comfortable. That was like, that was really good. Mm-hmm. That also answered like the hardest, my other question right there, do the hardest part of watching Nicole on the show was, yeah, not being able to help, not being able to give advice. Cause when she has something or like a game move, there's a couple things I would have said, but like, she can't see what we can see. We can see like the people talking about you behind your back, the people you need to watch out for and like the different kind of things going on.
Cause that's the game, obviously.
You know, but I just know that she's like a good person, and so she'll make it through. She's fine. She's strong like her dad, and she'll handle everything that she needs to handle during it. But yeah, it is, it's hard watching them when they're hurting and watching that stuff unfold. And it also said about writing the HOH letters, like when they win, we write them ahead of time. So that a lot of times mm-hmm. they're not, I mean, if they keep winning, then they'll say to send some more, but they always have backup. I think you get a list of how many people you'd like to hear from, like say, it'll yeah. say her mom, her dad, her best friend, her like Victor, obviously on the All-Star thing. And you just all write them ahead of time. So the bad thing about them is Nicole said, you know, she doesn't know when some of them are written. And like you said, like before that, it's like hard, you're reading stuff into it.
Yeah. And it was really hard for me because I was just like the first time even I was just like, I don't know. I could read into my mom so well that I thought something was wrong.
But here I wrote them ahead of time. Yeah, so she, and then she said, like, when we did the part she hated the most, she'll say it, is the family, when the family gets to talk to you. Because she
says,
the
video, my God, that destroyed me.
Because she said it makes it look like I look sad, like she's trying to feel me. So I think it's almost the same thing as, like, us watching her. She's watching us, and she's thinking, but it's just uncomfortable. And it wasn't, like, ever anything bad. It was just a very uncomfortable to make that. I'm not the kind of person to make them videos and say, hey, you know. So she said that was the worst. She said she couldn't sleep and she'd cry because we looked like we're sad. So she don't know what's going on in the outside world and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it really screwed up my game, honestly. It didn't
give
me...
So she said she would have rather not seen us until after she got out of there. Like, that was very, very hard.
They do that, I think. Yeah, because, I mean, it's nice to see your family and stuff, but... It messes with your head.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Okay, there's still quite a few, but I'm just going to do a couple more of the funny ones. Are the ants bad, and which season were they the worst for you?
So season 16, we had like this deli tray, and by the time we got into the house, there was ants all over the deli tray. So they were really bad season 16.
Isn't that... Did you really have a mouse in there season 16, or was that just somebody teasing Cody?
That was Team America.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay. Yeah.
And then after that, they haven't been as bad. So I don't
know. Season 16 was the worst.
Yeah.
And does the house have a distinctive smell? Like, yeah. Does it smell the same every time you go in it? Like, yeah. It's some, like, how people's houses have a distinctive smell. Like, do you feel like you're home, back home again?
It does have the same smell, but it's a smell of fear. That's for sure. It's not a smell of comfort. One thing that I wanted to say is that you are in survival mode when you're in there. Not having a menstrual cycle is not something that I ever went through, even like in nursing school or ever in my life. And I feel like even when I was having panic attacks every single night after Big Brother, I still have my menstrual cycle. So I didn't have my menstrual cycle in the house, I don't think, any season. And because you're in survival mode. So just try to remember that when you're watching these house guests, that it literally feels like you're in the Hunger Games and you're going to, once you like get thrown
and you came there, most people come there to win that money. So,
if I came there to be loved, it'd be a whole different game.
But I mean, most people come there to win that money and to win that game. So I mean, their minds are going the entire time. Like you told me, your mind does not shut down, not even to sleep. And like, even like, and this is one thing Nicole told me after, because like everybody would say that, I would read that on Twitter, like, how come Nicole's sitting in that bed on season 18? And she, the minute I asked her that, she had the most logical answer that made sense. And it's like, what was it?
Well, I could see everything really well from right there. So I could see anyone coming around the corner, what bedroom they were going to, who they were talking to. And it was just like the best, like, scouting position. I just sit there and watch and listen. That's what she said.
It made her look like less.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, Nicole's just like sitting by herself. I'm not worried about her. She's always there. She's not off trying to make all these plans with other people. You guys sometimes assume the worst, and like, it's really, you're not in that environment. Each environment, each season's different. You have to do what you got to do to survive. And sometimes that's playing dead. And that's kind of what I did, was play dead and watch during certain parts. I had so many confrontations that season and how I handled them, I still became the winner of the season. So, I mean, I was in a lot and I just had to hide that I was kind of like the one doing most things. If people knew that I was the leader, then I would definitely be voted out. And even Michelle and stuff, they'd say, Nicole's going to win this season. I still didn't get voted out.
And yeah, that she's a snake watcher. She's got it. So every time mm-hmm. she said that would happen, she had to like retreat again and like act like, la, like, la, la. Like,
exactly.
Oh, I'm just into a showman's and that's what I have to do.
Yeah, exactly. If I would have done anything different, maybe America would have liked me a little more.
But you would not have
but
won.
But I would not have won the game.
And that would not have changed your life, because winning really changed your
life. Winning changed my life. It completely changed my life. And yes.
So I think we're ending on a good note with all that today, but there's still so much. I really do want to try to dive into this every other week or add an extra one, but we will get back to regular life and regular stuff for all you listeners who don't like want to talk Big Brother.
Yeah, this was fun. Okay, talk to you guys soon.